Right. So praise God. So it's day two of what's really, really new about the new creation. So having this in mind, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All right. So if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. So if the Bible says all things have passed away, all things have become new. So what's new? Everything, every single thing is new about this new creature. Everything is new about him. So you and I, all right, I've got to come into that reality. You and I have got to remind ourselves. Sometimes, guys, this is, you know, sometimes as simple as speaking 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know, and making it your meditation for a few weeks, for a few days. You just want to establish in your heart the reality of that newness. You want to establish in your heart the reality of that revelation, because, like I said, I think it was the last edition. You hear, I remember when I heard, you know, ministers, older ministers say, well, that's one of the greatest Bible verses they've ever come across. And I'm like, seriously? Seriously? You know, and so if you're like me, you know, those things, you know, they hit at you big. Okay, so for instance, I pick maybe Kenny Hagin book, maybe Charles Karp's book. I pick a book, and then I like to read the back of the book, all right? So in this book, you will learn, you know that part, right? The very back cover. And then I see what it says I will learn in the book, and then that juices me up. I want to look forward to learning those things in the book. And sincerely, there are times when I've read the book, and I'm like, I didn't see this part. I didn't see that part. Now, because I trust the author, all right, I tell myself, it means it was there. You didn't see it. So you're going to find it. All right. Now, I know that might sound like a bit of work, but this person didn't write this much revelation. Go to the press and write stuff at the back of the book that are not real. No, it's there. I didn't see it. Or I didn't see it the way they said I'll get it. So it means I didn't see it. I didn't get it. So I go to the book. I read the book and I'm like, okay, I need to find this revelation is in it. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Because of the trust you have for these people. So that happened to me in 2 Corinthians 5:17 many years ago. And then you hear them say, oh, that's the one of the greatest verses in the Bible. You're like, oh, I didn't see it that way. It whets your appetite. It wants to make you say, hey, let me go and see why. All right. Because another thing we could do is this, because someone I trust says that's one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. Next time I want to talk, I say, well, that's one of the most amazing. But have I come to understand why? Okay. So that's why sometimes we have a lot of folk, you know, say what their pastor said, but they didn't get it. So I'm taking this moment to ask you, please get it. All right. Take that time to get it. Take that time to understand. Why did my pastor say this? Why did this person, you know, go into the word? I've seen wars in between camps. You had argument, all right? This person said this and that person saying that. And what you basically find going on is an argument between two people based on certain things two preachers they listen to, all right, said. And sometimes I've had to listen and I'm like, didn't you guys see that? The points are almost similar, just said differently. Or didn't you guys see that this person came at it this way and this other person came at it this other way? There might be a middle about this thing, because so sometimes we could get involved in those arguments without looking closely and we could just be biased about it. I've been there too. All right, well, you're just biased. Well, it's what he said, because that's what he said. That's what he said. And that's final. So you're not trying. You don't even understand the point. So sometimes that's the bad part. You don't even understand it. You don't know why. You say, well, he said it. So yeah, but the person didn't say it so that you just echo it. The person said it. So you gain a revelation of it. Okay. So what's new about the new creation? Everything. I said everything. And I said everything because the Bible said it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now you please, when you leave this place or while we're here right now, open your Bible and see old things have passed away. All things have become new. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So what is new about the new creation? Everything. Did you get that? What's new? Everything is new. So because everything is new, you and I have got to function with that reality and then function with that mindset and just go for that fact. All right. So yesterday we said we need to touch a few other things. We spent a lot of time talking about the nature of the new creation. Yesterday we're not done. The nature of the new creation. So we mentioned righteousness because the new creation is righteous and holy. Did you get that? The new creation is righteous and holy. So we're going to move further discussing the nature of the new creation and touch a few things now. The things I'm going to touch, I'll touch them quickly, guys. Allow me to touch them quickly because our next edition, our next two editions are going to rest largely on these two. So let's go to 2 Peter from the first chapter, right? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. 2 Peter 1 and 1. And I want to say a number of things, all right? Hidden revelation in the writings of Peter. Okay, so 2 Peter chapter 1. And then verse 1, it's just amazing. So I trust that everybody, you know, is ready. And then we just jump into it and get it right quickly. So so Gabriel is around tonight. So hey, so we're having scriptures, you know, up on the screen. Okay, can it be bigger? I guess they can see it anyway. All right. Thank you there, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, so Simon Peter, servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, hold on. This is one of those verses that would encourage you guys. All right. Sometimes you feel, oh, I don't have faith like this person and I don't have faith like that person. I don't have. Now, Peter is an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter is saying, watch this again. Please read with me. Simon Peter, and a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained, guys, to them that have obtained like precious faith. So all of us have obtained it. We might use it at different levels. We might come at it at different ways. We might have exercised it differently. Some obviously have, there's a lot more exercise than some others, but all of us have obtained like precious faith. I mean, some of you would not even want to think. You think it's almost blasphemy to think that you and I have the same kind of faith, but we do. It's not disrespectful to say that because it's just the Bible truth. We have the same kind, you know, of faith. We have the same type of faith. All right. It's the same. Well, no matter how great the great man of God is, this is Apostle Peter saying we have like precious faith, but that's all we're going. So we're going to 2, 3, 4, right? So we're ending up between the third and the fourth verses, but I just want to peek, all right, the light that Peter shares with us in those verses. Okay. So, all right. So we're going to verse 2 right now. So that's 1 Peter chapter 1 and then verse 2. So it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you get that? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. So someone says, I would love that the grace of God is a lot more active in my life. Grace and peace. It didn't even say be added unto you. It will say be multiplied. But the question is how? Through the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the more you know, and this is the good part, guys, the more you and I get into knowledge, and that's why teachings are important. The more you know, the more grace and peace will become multiplied. All right. I've seen people pray for grace. A number of those prayers for grace are sincerely, with all due respect, not necessary. All right. A number of those prayers for grace are not necessary. Sometimes even the prayer for peace. All right. There's a context with which it is okay. But then there's another context with which it's not necessary. Okay. For instance, Philippians 4 tells us, okay, in verse 6 of Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God will guard your heart. So it says, when you decide not to be anxious, and then when you decide to put your absolute trust in God, and you pray about things with thanksgiving, the peace of God will guard your heart. But what most of us want is, oh God, let your peace guard my heart so that I can be calm enough to deal with the situation. But the Bible says, no, it functions in the reverse. First, be anxious for nothing. All right. That's in the sixth verse. Be anxious for nothing. All right. Be careful for nothing. Don't be worried about it. And I mean, it's almost natural to be bothered. It's almost natural to be worried. But it says, no, be worried about nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, I know there might be something you're bothered about, something maybe a bit disturbing to you. But it says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So it means pray about it, okay? But you must first make sure that you're not bothered about it, okay? You're not bothered about it. Now, let me say this about prayer. Please understand that you must endeavor to know the will of God. And the will of God is in the word of God. You know, because it's easy out that we all want to just pray about every single thing. Everything. And it's not wrong. But what is the will of God about it? Okay. I learned something from Kenneth Copeland very many years ago. Pray to know what to pray about. Okay. I learned it from Copeland. There's a dear old man of God also called Lynn Hammond. All right. Lynn Hammond. Pray to know what to pray about. It sounds like, seriously? Yeah. Such that when there's a situation, your heart doesn't just go, oh, in the name of Jesus, let's pray about it. And we do that. Sometimes we get hurt, we get disappointed, and we conclude and say, God didn't answer us. No. The first thing really is, Father, thank you for your will on this matter is revealed unto me. It allows you to know exactly, all right, what to pray about on that matter. It allows you to know exactly how to pray about it. All right. Did you get that? Was that clear? So pray to know what to pray about. Pray to know what to say so that it's not just prayer. Oh, I need a job. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, give me a job. God might be leading your heart to something different. Might be leading your heart to start a new line of business. Might be leading your heart to move somewhere, to do something new. And then you're like, I'm praying about my job. God is not even answering me. And then we stand on God and keep saying that we're talking to God and he's not responding, but you're not getting the right thing he would have you pray about. Is this thing clear? Please understand that. I'll give you a very clear, classic example. All right. So in John chapter 11, you find that in John 11, Jesus received a message saying, Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. Please come. I mean, you would, haven't known who Jesus is, and Mary and Martha knew Jesus, haven't known who Jesus is, they already know that he responds when he gets to hear that somebody's sick. Not to now mention that Lazarus, whom he loved, was sick. First response is, get up, let's go. And the Bible said in John 11 that Jesus abode there 2 more days. And then he said to the disciples, this sickness is not unto death. So imagine you praying and saying, hey, Jesus, come my way. But Jesus is not responding because of an emotional request. Jesus is walking in the exact timing and the will of God on that matter. Please get that. I'm trying to use that to talk about our own ways and responses. So Jesus must have checked this out and like, Father, am I supposed to go? Because in John chapter 5, he said, the Son can of himself do nothing. As I see my Father do, so will I do. So he must have checked and the Father said, don't make a move. Don't go. And then he's not going anywhere. He's not making any move. So we get offended and say, hey, why is he not moving? Why is he not moving? But the same thing with you. So this is not, in the way I'm telling this story, I'm putting you in the place where Jesus was, all right? So in this story, you are not Mary and Martha waiting for Jesus, all right? Now, this is what I want you to learn. It means that someone could call you to come, all right? And then you know in your heart, I'm not supposed to be there. I was invited sometime back to officiate at the wedding. I mean, I'd known the person for a number of years. It was a wedding I'd wanted to be at. It would be nice to be there. But I just knew in my heart, you don't have a business going there. I'm like, okay. And then I told my wife, I'm not going for the wedding. Then the day gets nearer. And then I just came up with this very, very nice idea. Let me surprise the person at the wedding. Just spring up a surprise. All right. You know, would my wife make it? I told the person, I'm not sure because she had set an engagement. So what's going to happen? Don't worry. Everything will be fine. So somehow, you know, the person just believed someone's going to show up. So I'm dressed for the other wedding. started the car and something funny seemed to have been going on with the car first of all. And I kept feeling, ah, just let's go. Everything will be fine. At that point, we could be praying. All right. But I wasn't praying. As in, there was nothing to pray about. That's what I mean. Then we, long story short, I mean, for the first time in my life of, you know, a driver, I now remember, I think I was running into a bike guy. I can't remember that. But I mean, basically, someone ran into me, ran into the person. And, you know, this has not happened like this before. I had to park and like, I'm not using my faith on this journey because this is almost looking like I want to walk in disobedience in order to please someone. All right. Now to please someone, you might have heard me say, you have to be at the right place. And it's a confession. But more than a confession, you have to learn to yield to the leading of the Spirit. I'm at the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right sets of people. And I get the right results. Did you get that? I could say it again. I am at the right place at the right time, doing the right things with the right sets of people. And I get the right results. You might have heard stories of, oh, this person went to meet this person and then there was a calamity. This person was going this way, stopped over to just say hi to that other person. Something went wrong. No, I'm at the right place at the right time with the right set of people. I do the right set of things and I get the right results. I'll take it one more time. I am at the right place at the right time, doing the right things with the right sets of people and I get the right results. And I'm saying this because it's important that you and I understand the place for knowledge. And that's how we're going into all of this. All right. We began from Second Peter chapter 1, when the second verse that says grace and peace be multiplied unto you through knowledge. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want more grace to be evident in your life, if you want more peace to be at work in your life, go for knowledge. And that's what we're doing. All right. Now the third verse, verse 3. All right. Verse 3. Watch this. Now I want you to notice that there was knowledge in verse 2. All right. Grace and peace multiply unto you through knowledge. See verse 3 again. According as his divine power, watch this, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that had called us to glory and virtue. So once again, it says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain, the things you need for life and God, they have been given. How? Through the knowledge. You know, because you wonder, if you don't go for knowledge, we would live our lives on this earth not knowing what's new about the new creation. But so much is new about us, all right? But we've got to give attention to study, to knowing what's really new about me. So according as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. All right, next verse, please. I want to show you this. Verse 4. This is amazing. Watch this. Whereby are given unto us, I want you to notice, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, I'm going to explain this, that by these you might be made, or you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world through us. All right, so let's do NLT, TPT Amplify Classic on this verse. I'm going to show you guys something. And then just explain something. I want to pick out something from this. Because the thing about the new creation is this. You and I have been transformed. All right. And then you and I would enjoy that life of transformation. Are you getting this? But it needs knowledge. It requires a whole lot of knowledge. All right. So, and by that same mighty power, what translation will this be? All right. And by that same mighty power, he has given us all of his rich and wonderful promises. He has promised that we will escape the decadence all around you, caused by the evil desires, and that you will share in his divine nature. What translation? I can't see the translation clearly. Okay, let's just, so I'm assuming this will be NLT. So NLT, TPT, KJV. Let me also search here so that I Okay, I know you're trying to make it fit to screen. So let me pull it out. I'll pull it out right now too, so I can quickly do a quick note. Because I want to bring out something the way the King James said it. But I feel okay, let's read a few versions and then we'll come back to it. So TPT, nap, nap, nap. First Peter, Second Peter. All right, Second Peter 1 and 4. And all right, found it. Where am I? Hold on. All right, compare. Good. Okay, so NLT, and because no, okay, so that would have been as a result of this. Okay, that's TPT. So NLT, let's do NLT now. Let's see what they get to tell us, and then I'll go to where I'm going. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Yes, nearer to what I'm looking for. And then, like I said, I want us to, you know, I want to explain something from the King James. So I want us to play with, you know, them. And then I'm going somewhere. So I'm finding what I'm looking for here too. The explanation I want to give you. All right. Amplify Classic. By means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them, beautiful, you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of, you know, covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of his divine nature. Okay, great. Thank you. That's the Amplified. So I'm going to read the New King James. I'm going to read the NLT, and I'm going to read the Amplified. And please listen to me. If you have these versions where you are, but I mean, they are also on the screen, so just follow. So New King James, first of all, New King James, all right? By which you have been given, I'm not reading it right. By which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, New King James, that through these, so I want you to notice something, there have been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Let me back up. Verse 2 of 1 Peter, all right, verse 2 of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Verse 2 of 2 Peter chapter 1 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through knowledge. So you want grace to be increased in your life. You want peace to be increased in your life. There's a prayer part of it, but it's clear here. There's a knowledge part of it. So we have people who would rather go for the knowledge part of it. Prayer part of it. Some would even rather go for the impartation part of it. But very few want to go for the knowledge dimension. But this is it. When you know how to get something, you know how to reproduce it. And that's the sweet thing about knowledge. You know how to get it. You will know how to reproduce it. So grace and peace are multiplied through knowledge. Notice knowledge there. So let's go to the third verse, all right? This is verse 2. So let's see verse 3. Verse 3 says, and his divine power, guys, have given unto us, guys, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him again. So he's given us everything. How would you know what he's given? How would you maximize what he's given? Through knowledge. Through knowledge. Through knowledge. Now see verse 4. Verse 4, New King James, verse 4. By which have been given to us, watch this now, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these exceedingly great and precious promises, watch this, that through these you might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I'm entering family. What's new about the new creation? Family. I'm entering that right now. But I need to show you something. And that's this. Because you're born of God, because you're a child of God, then you are a partaker of the divine nature. But it's clear from this that if you do not take a hold on the word of God on that issue, you will not. So I'm about to use partake twice, and that might be wrong, okay? The divine nature is your inheritance, all right? But you might not partake of it if you don't go into the word of God. I'm going to read it again. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises, you might be partakers of his divine nature. Through them, you might be, all right? Or you may be. King James used might. New King James may. It's fine. Still same. Now, NLT. I said I saw what I was looking for also in NLT. And because of his glory and excellence, NLT, of that same verse 4, all right? And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. NLT, verse 4. This NLT is different from mine, right? Yeah, it looks different. Yeah, it's looking different. Okay, let me read what I have here. NLT. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you. And this is what I said I saw that I like as connected to King James. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature. Through the promises, what's referring to as promises are the things that have been spoken. Through these promises, you are enabled to share in the divine nature. So every believer has the divine nature, has access to the divine nature, but we might not partake of it. We might not walk in it if we don't go for the word. Amplified classic. By means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them, through what? The promises, thank you. So that through the promises, you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of his divine nature. Through what again? Through the promises. Guys, all I'm trying to point out from these verses are the fact that knowledge is essential. Knowledge is essential. When you know who you are, when you know what you have, when you know what's available to you, you will triumph a lot more easily. You will excel a whole lot better, okay? John chapter 1 and then the 12th verse. John chapter 1 verse 12. So we're talking about the nature of the new creation. And then, so I said, I'm going to touch certain things. We've talked about nature last session yesterday. And I said last night, last afternoon, last everything yesterday. All right. But we're not done. So there are three things about the nature of what I want to bring up. I'll make it quick, but there are three things I want to bring up. So John chapter 1, because I'm moving nature into family. John 1, 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, the right, the power, normal King James would say, or regular King James. So the word actually is the right, all right? It gives you the right to become because you believe in him. Now, this could apply to the Jews a lot more than us. We were not just given right. We now became sons. But those who believed in him while he was on the earth already were being brought into the realm, but they couldn't enter it until he died and resurrected, all right? But as many as believed in him. Now, when you become a son of God, what becomes special about you? When you become God's child, what's the basic difference? I'm a child of God. So everybody goes, I'm God's child, all right? You might have heard me teach before. You know, I try not to say I'm God's friend and all of that. And I will explain. All right, so maybe I would explain a bit today, but I think I might have explained in a previous episode. And it's just fine. So because we hear a lot of it in songs, so we just say, hey, it's a song, it's scripture, isn't it? No, we need to follow scripture and see exactly the build up of the scripture on all that. And I'm going to explain. So there is a nature. The nature of a thing, the law of Genesis, everything reproduces after its kind. Please understand that. The law of Genesis, everything reproduces after its kind. Life begets life. Like begets like. You understand that? Life begets life. And then, you know, like begets like. So the monkey gives birth to monkey, and then the cat gives birth to a cat, kitten, dog, dog, puppy. You know, like begets like. So when God said, let us make man in our image, God was saying, let us make men like us. And we've dealt with that before. God created Adam in God's image. Adam gave birth to Seth in Adam's image. Something was missing, but there is a divine nature. So in Christ Jesus, God came to give us something. I would introduce it, but trust me, or allow me not to go too far into it. Now let's go to John chapter 1 from verse 1. The nature of God, all right? And then which is the nature of the new creation? Because if you're born of God, then this is your nature, all right? I'll just touch it. John chapter 1 from verse 1. We'll pick it from the first verse to the fourth verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, all right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, all right? Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In this place, two of the three major things about the nature of God are revealed. One is life, the other is light. And yesterday I said I'm ending. We'll have two more sessions or editions this year. I'm actually teaching life and then light. All right. So the next one, I want to talk about life. So when people say, oh, thank God for the gift of life, what they really are saying is, oh, thank God I'm alive, man. I just woke up today. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. But that is not the gift of life. It's fine. If it shocks you and like, oh, no, it's okay. I would always back everything up. In Romans chapter 6 and the 23rd verse, Romans 6:23, we made reference to yesterday. Romans 6:23, Bible makes it clear that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Are you getting that? The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. So this gift of eternal life is the gift of life. So we need to reteach the world. And then, so when people say, thank God for the gift of life, it's not being alive. That's not what God calls the gift of life. This is the gift of life, the gift of eternal life. You say, no, if I wake up in the morning, I can say, thank God for the gift of life. Jesus was talking to people that were waking up every day in John chapter 10, verse 10. They were waking up every day, every day, every day. They were listening to him as often as they called. They woke up every day. And he said, the thief, John 10, 10, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you may have life, and that you may have it more. I know you know the verse. So the irony there is, we know John 10, 10, but we like to argue and say, waking up is the gift of life. I don't want to care what you're saying about it. Well, no, it's not what we say about it. It's what does the Bible call the gift of life? Because you find those who believe in Jesus, those who don't believe in Jesus, those who've accepted him, those who don't accept him, everybody wakes up and they say, thank God for the gift of life. But maybe when you and I educate them better and say, no, you're alive, but you haven't received the gift of life, then they will place more value on receiving it, because they need to know that Jesus, his mission statement, I have come that you may have life. I've come to give it to you. So when we say thank God for the gift of life, I'm talking about the gift of eternal life. That gift that Jesus brought to us. Hallelujah. That is the gift of eternal life. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So whoever believes in him is already someone waking up and sleeping every day. But they don't have the gift of eternal life if they don't receive Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him, that person's already waking up. So that person will say, thank God for the gift of life. Jesus said, no, I'm the gift of life. If you don't have me, you don't have this gift of life. Glory to God. So this, what moving on this a lot better. So you've seen three scriptures already, all right? Romans chapter 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's the gift of eternal life. That's the gift of God. All right. You find in John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. You find in John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Now anybody who believes in him will not perish, but have received the gift of eternal life. Now let's look at 1 John chapter 5 and the 12th verse. 1 John 5 and 12. I'm just laying this as a foundation because we'll spend a lot more time on this, all right? So we can talk about what this gift is. And if you can, share this already with someone. And you could tell them, I'm going to learn more. So come join me to learn more. John was writing and he said, he that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. That means the person who is alive but has not received Jesus doesn't have the gift of life, guys. No, he who has the Son has life. And he who doesn't have the Son does not have this gift of life. So, all right, so we're going to preach all over the world, all right? And it begins with me, begins with you, begins with every one of us knowing, okay, this is the word of God, and this is my commitment to it, and I'm going to teach it. So how is this life the nature of God? How is it the nature of God? John chapter 5, verse 26. John 5, 26. All right? I hope you're writing these things down. They'll just help you. John chapter 5, 26. Jesus is speaking, and he connects it to the Father because, guys, the moment you got born again, you were brought into the family of God. Do you remember yesterday I was talking about a colleague of mine, all right, while we were interns, all right? So they gave, you know, we interns the privilege to, you know, share God's word from time to time. And I talked about how that, so one of those services, I had a prayer of taking prayer. He had a prayer of, you know, sharing the word. And then because I didn't say, you know, we should be forgiving our sins, and then he picked up on it when I was going to start teaching, and I felt it's all right. He doesn't know what I know. But anyway, so this colleague of mine, every time he was to preached salvation-related messages, the way we, you know, refer to them as salvation-related messages, you know, the wages of sin is death, you know, and, you know, I mean, he was just basically of that, you know, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and, you know, can he look back, change his skin, and all those evangelistic stuff. But the irony, I guess, was he was saying that, and most of us who sat there were believers. Usually those who come for the office hour fellowship were born again. So I had to pick him up one day, not like as in take him up on it and just have a gentle conversation. And I'm glad he received it well. I'm thankful to God. And I'm like, see, you keep telling people, come into the house, come into the house. Out there is not safe. Come into the house. You know, get born again, I mean, you just come into the house. Come, that you keep doing that. But you're not telling them what happens now that they're in the house. And I said, see, check most of us here who are coming or born again. So you're still happing us on the head. But why don't you now tell us, now that we're born again, what's next? Share with us. So even if you said, you know, repent, you know, that other time, maybe the next time you come up, tell us something else. Say something, you know, and we got close after that time, actually. We did get close. And that's why I'm thankful to God. He received it. Because people need to know what happened to them. They need to understand, you know, now that I'm here, so what's next? So in John 5 and 26, John chapter 5 and the 26th verse, Jesus is speaking and he said, John 5, 26. Yeah, thank you. He says, for as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. Look at it. If you remember, John said he had life. Jesus came to give us life, give us life, give us life, give us life. Where did he get it from? From the Father. As the Father has life, he's given to Jesus, the Son, to have life. And you remember John 10:10, the Son came that we may have life. So eventually it's like the family, a family of divine life. That's what this thing is. The Father has it, gave it to the Son. The Son said, I've got it. And then he gives it to you. In this family, there's an inheritance. And that's a beautiful part of this. There's an inheritance. Now I'm in the family. So we have children of God begging God for stuff and saying, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. You would never hear Jesus say, oh God, open the book of remembrance for me and all whatnot. No. Because it was wrong in praying that. Listen. Why don't we learn prayer from the lips of the Master? That's how we need to learn prayer. But then you go, oh, but that's Jesus. I know. That's the firstborn. Every other person up until that time didn't know God as a Father. The day you got born again, and I know you know, you've come into the family of God. Because you've come to the family, there's a language in the family, guys. All right? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews 1, 1. All right? So just follow me your notes, please. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Thank you, dear Lord. All right. So it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So God at sundry times, all right, in divers manners spoke to the fathers by the prophets. The fathers there, the patriarchs, all right? Let's go. He has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the world. So he's saying here that he's, no, we're just staying in that second verse. Thank you. He has appointed him heir of all things. All right. But I love the fact that he spoke to the fathers by the prophets. In these last days, he has spoken by the Son. So the language of the Son, the utterances of the Son should be important to you. You say, why? Because you are now a son. Son, daughter, but it's called sonship. Nothing gender sensitive about that, all right? It's sonship. I am a son. I am a son. That's what you are. So when we see the way the prophet spoke, we need to come back and check, did Jesus speak that way? I mean, for instance, so God, you know, introduced himself and said to Abraham, I am Almighty God. And what God was saying to Abraham is, I am El Shaddai. All right. And God said to him, walk before me. All right. And be blameless. And God introduced himself, you know, said to Moses, I am that I am, when Moses asked. And then we find, you know, names of God. All right. All through scripture, powerful names of God. But then Jesus will show up and all he, if anybody knew God's hotline, if anybody knew that name of God, you could call right now and he would answer like now, it would have been Jesus. And of all the very many names we have and the ever expanding names we keep getting, he only referred to God as Father. But that word sounds so simple, so common, so powerless, that we always believe we need to pad it up with many other revelations and names. And no, Jesus would have set the example. We're also going to the book of Acts. We never find them say anything. I mean, you don't read through Acts and then they're praying and then you see El Elyon and El Gibor, you know, fight our battle for us, Jehovah Sabaoth and all of that. You don't in the book of Acts. Now, there are references, all right? For instance, when James was going to write and James talked about the Lord of the harvest. So you find references, but everybody largely so uses God and Father. Now, some have this revelation and then they say, hey, all the other names are irrelevant, maybe useless, maybe no, I feel that's taking it too far. I believe God intentionally allowed those buildups because if you do not know the qualities and the characteristics of God, you might not understand who your Father is because you don't know what he can do. So when I know that my Father is the chairman, you know, of XYZ Corporation, and then I know my Father is this, I don't just know him as my daddy. I know the power he has. Are you getting this? That's why when Jesus showed up and said, God is my Father, they would have picked up stones. They picked up stones and wanted to stone him. Because they said, who? The one who blasted the Red Sea? The one who gave our fathers manna? You call him your daddy? Bro, we're killing you right now. So I believe the revelation of fatherhood must be hinged. I'm looking forward to when I can run that as a series. So that because let's have an idea of who daddy is. Who's daddy? So that when you go Father in the name of Jesus, you have a strong revelation of who your daddy is, what he can do, how powerful he is. All right? But then your pet name, Father. So that's why the spirit he put within you is crying in your heart, daddy, 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 Abba, Father. It's a spirit of intimacy, a spirit of depth and union. Oh, daddy, 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 Abba, Father, Abba, Abba, Abba. So we could brag and say, I'm an Abba's guy, I'm Abba's girl. It goes beyond that. Another thing is this, knowing that he's my Father means there's something about his nature that I have. So God created things in Genesis by speaking. I mean, in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. Darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Then God said, oh my goodness, everywhere is dark. That's not what he did. So because that's not what he did, you know, that's not what he's expecting us to do. God spoke, changed situations. How did Jesus handle the storm? He spoke to it. What does God expect us to do? He expects us to, you know, speak to things. He expects us to say to the mountain, say to that situation, say to that obstacle and say, hey, I speak to you. Because being his child, there's a sameness, that there's a union, there's a flow between us and him. Hallelujah. Are you getting it? So that you could have this build up. He's my Father. So the nature of God, light. Life. In John chapter 11, the 25th verse of John 11, Jesus is at the tomb of Lazarus. And in John chapter 11, 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. How did he get that nature? He got the nature because the Father gave it to him. Now that same nature of God has been given to us. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, Bible says, and this is the message we've received from him, which we communicate to you, that God is light. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. These are attributes of God. These are core natures of the Father. And of course, in John chapter 4, verse 8, we're told that God is love. So life, light, love. You might want to call them the three L's of John. Three L's of John, because John talked about them largely, all right? Life, light, and love. These are, you know, we could call them the nature of God because they are. This is God's nature. God is life. God is light. God is love. God is life. God is light. God is love. Hallelujah. And in understanding that nature, we know, oh, I am his child. And because I am his child, I'm a partaker. But remember what we read in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. You become a partaker by taking advantage of the promises. Did you get that? So there's food in the deep freezer. There's stuff in the fridge, all right? You have ice cream, you have cake, and then you have some other things you could microwave, all stocked up there for you. And then you're here hungry. Please understand this. And then, oh my goodness, oh, I'm starving. Oh, I'm hungry. Oh, I'm just starving. Oh, I'm just hungry. Oh, I'm just starving. Then you're told about what's in the freezer. Knowledge comes to you of the promises, all right? Because I'd said to you, don't worry, come over to the house, you will be fine. I told you that. So there was a promise. Then now you're told by a teacher, preacher, by the word of God, it's there, right in the freezer. It's there. Through the knowledge of the promise, I partake of the food. I might want to start with dessert or main meal or do main meal and then go back to the dessert. I mean, there's ice cream. Let's have a good time. I mean, if you understand what I'm saying, so it is important to know. Because as much as you are the child of God and then you have the nature of God, you might not partake of that divine nature. Why? You don't know. Or then you hear about it, but you don't mix it with faith. I trust that that's helping us. Life, light, and love. So our next edition of Word Up, we will be talking about life, the gift of life, what this thing really, really is. Right. And the edition after that, that's the final edition for this year. All right. The second weekend of December. We're going to talk about light. Light is the greatest substance. All right. Light is. Everything is a function of light. And that's why in Genesis, God said, let there be light. And when he said, let there be light, it wasn't let there be the sun, because the sun was created 4 days afterwards on the fourth day. So when he said light, was a declaration of himself. And at the end, if you go to the book of Revelations, there will be no sun. There will be no night. There will be no lamp, but there will still be light, guys. For God himself will be our light. Oh, what a day, what a day, what a day, what a day, what a day. But while you and I wait to get to that point where there will be no sun, yet there will be no night and no need for lamps because God is our light. Right now, our everyday status, like Psalm 18 says, the Lord lights my candle, the Lord enlightens my darkness. And like Psalm 27 says, God is my light and my salvation. So while I'm waiting for the fullness when it will happen for every one of us, I can by faith start laying a demand on that aspect of divinity. Light. Light, guys, is illumination. Light is illumination. Light will help us in this life. It will reduce heartaches, heartbreaks, disappointments. Light is just so sweet. And the Bible actually says, for light is sweet. Woo, glory to God. So we're going to teach life, a whole edition of Word Up, Saturday, Sunday. Then we're going to talk about life and then light, a whole edition, Saturday, Sunday. It will be amazing. But I think I've just done a quick, good introduction here. Because where there is eternal life, hallelujah, death cannot find expression. Remember, John chapter 1, verse 5 says, verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Verse 5, and the light will shine in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. So anywhere, guys, where there is light, darkness cannot stay. So whether it's finances, whether it's marriage, whether it's health, whatever the situation is, light is usually what is needed. And sometimes God could guide you through a material, to a teaching, sometimes listening to the news or something else on TV. God could just, because what you need is light. What will take your business to the next level? Light, illumination. So the psalmist prayed and said, open my eyes to behold wondrous things in your word. Paul prayed and said, the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened. Nebuchadnezzar was going to kill the guys because he had a dream. He forgot the dream and he wanted an interpretation to the dream. He forgot. What a very bad guy. Very, very bad guy. All right. But then Daniel in Daniel chapter 2 said there is a God who sees in secret because light dwells within him. There's a God who sees in secret. because the light dwells within him. And Daniel and his friends set themselves to prayer and fasting, laying a demand on that aspect of God, light. That God will show them deep and secret things. Hiya. That God will show them deep and secret things. And what a way we're going to deal with that second weekend of December and help you better prepare for your 2022. Illumination, the things we see not, because God is willing to show things. Jeremiah 33, verse 3, ask of me and I will show you greater mighty things that you don't know. He will show you things. So God doesn't like darkness, doesn't like keeping us in the dark. Yeah, I mean, Deuteronomy tells us in that, should be 29:29, that the secret things belong to God, the things that are revealed belong to us and our children. The things that are revealed are enough for us and our children. The secret things belong to him. What's revealed is more than enough. So you and I need to get into that character of God. Illumination, light. And guess what? Bible says you are a child of light. Woof, it's sweet. I hope that blessed you, all right? Because it's sweet, all right? And I hope I've been able to use it to whet your appetite. So John chapter 3, all right? First John chapter 3, we'll pick it from the first verse. So our media screen has vanished, but let's just roll from here. First John chapter 3 from verse 1. Hallelujah. So don't forget, we read John chapter 1 verse 12, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become all right, actually, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. All right. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Did you get that? Therefore, the world knows us not because you know. Let me read the whole verse again. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Let me know, Rashi. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Guys, John wrote this, and John was the same person who was with Jesus as a disciple and an apostle. And John knew that there was only one person called the Son of God, and that's Jesus. Now, Jesus was the only begotten. He's no longer the only begotten. And I hope that's clear, so we don't go into that. He's now the firstborn. He was the only begotten. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. So God gave him as a seed. Then that only begotten died. All right? And then when he resurrected, he had came up with brothers and sisters. I remember years back, you know, back then in college, and you know, there was this song about Jesus being the only son of God. And I remember I had this friend who was, you know, head of the choir. And I was just trying to share with her, listen, he is no longer the only begotten. And you know, when someone is listening to you intently, you think the word was sinking in. So, you know, and then you feel like, oh, I have an audience here. Let me keep sharing the word. You know, and then she was listening, you know, explain. And then, I mean, Romans and Colossians and, I mean, he's the firstborn. And I was talking, and then next thing I heard her say, Brother Larry, heresy. Oh, my. You know, she just got up and excused herself. Like, heresy. Be careful. This is heresy. I'm like, oh, yeah. All right. Anyway. You know, but have you been there? Why are you talking to persons? You think man is sinking in. Let me just keep going. And like, heresy. All right. So behold, so Jesus was the only begotten of the Father. Come on, guys. God wanted us as sons. Jesus comes down as the Son to be given as a seed so that the rest of us could become sons. Okay. I might need to show you from John 12 but I'm asking myself. All right. So behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Almost like that we should be called the sons of God. John says this is the love of God in manifestation. Like, we don't qualify to be called that, but he qualified us. So when he qualifies you, don't say I'm not qualified, right? Then he qualified us and called us sons. All right. Therefore, the world knows us not because he knew him not. Verse 2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Hallelujah. Woo. Now are we, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him as he is. And I'm looking forward to that day. That's why verse 3 now says, and everyone that has this hope in himself purifies himself even as he is pure. Now you're righteous, you're holy, but this is not nature. Now he's not talking about your conduct. Your action should show that, hey, I'm looking forward to meeting with him. Let me put away all this nonsense that just keep tripping me up and down. Put them away. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. Glory to God. Now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. You and I are now sons. Glory to God. Praise Jesus. You and I are now sons. Hallelujah. Thank you, dear Lord. Colossians in chapter 1. Thank you, Father. Colossians 1. We'll pick it from the 15th verse. Colossians 1, 15. Talking about Jesus. He said, who is the image? Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Jesus is being talked about here. So he was called the only begotten, but now he's called the firstborn of every creature. Verse 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I like verse 18. He is the head of the body, that is the church, who is the beginning. Look at the next phrase there. The firstborn from the dead. Not only begotten anymore. Firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. I love verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Hallelujah. He's called firstborn. He's our big brother. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hebrews 2 and from the 10th verse now. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it became him for whom were all things and by whom were all things, in bringing many sons, guys, unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Verse 11, for both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed. He's not ashamed. So Jesus is my brother, not my friend. I know we say God is my friend, just my friend. No, the word friendship does not describe it. You know, so what we now do that sometimes for me is an abuse of this revelation is we now say, but the Bible says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And we say Jesus is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No, Solomon was talking and he was speaking of the fact that there are friends that stick closer than brothers. I'm sure you have friends. Come on, guys. You and I have friends that stick closer than brothers. This a brotherhood. There's nothing like this one. This is the highest level of brotherhood. This is divine. This is not blood, human blood. This is a blood covenant brotherhood and is divine blood covenant brotherhood. There's nothing like this one. So yes, can I be friends with my brother and know people who still want to pat that friendship word into it? And this is what I feel about it. You know, in our world today, all right, in our world today, the word friend, it connotes. All right. In our world today, the word friend communicates intimacy. She's my friend. So we'll go, that's my BFF, my best friend for life. So it connotes intimacy. So when you say, oh, I am God's friend, it makes you feel, wow, God and I are close. And then your mind is racing. But Abraham was referred to as a friend of God. I know, but basic Bible question, who do you think was closer to the Father, Jesus or Abraham? Getting, getting, getting. Okay, my bell didn't sound right, right? Who was closer, Jesus or Abraham? Abraham was a pre-covenant friend. It was a covenant relationship. God cut a covenant with him, and then a bond was built on God's way to doing something, guys. And when the new creation was born, it was a family conversation, not friendship. It was sonship, because that's why you hear the language of heir, inheritance. You don't discuss such with friends. Friends don't inherit. Children do. Do you understand that? So Abraham was referred to that because of the terms of the arrangement. In fact, the story was worse for the Israelites. So Abraham was friend, okay? And then when Israel became a nation, these guys were slaves and servants. Once I'm done here, we're going to Galatians chapter 4. So he says here that he's not ashamed to call us brothers. He's your brother. No, let's do Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Jesus is my brother. He is my brother. I am your brother. I mean, I was saying that to someone sometime back. But I said, oh, come on, let me live long. And I said, I understand the honor. All right? And Bible says, give honor to whom it is due. But let's not do that and negate scripture. Is Jesus your brother? The person said, yeah. I said, so I'm your brother, bro. Hi, brother. Hi, sister. Because that's what all of us are. All of us. All of us. I'm your brother. Yes, for some of you, I've served as your pastor, you know, and all of that. For some, maybe all of that, you know, yeah. But I'm still your brother. Because it's a family. We're all brothers and sisters. That's what we are. There are now placements in the body, positions in the body, people to honor for their work's sake. It doesn't remove honor. I'm sure some of us have older ones that we give honor to, but they're still your brothers. Same daddy. We came out from the same womb. Glory to God, the womb of divinity, the womb of omnipotence. Woof, hallelujah. So in Romans chapter 8 now, all right, verse 28 into 29, we're going to 29, Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose, all right? But we're not going there. 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, watch this, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. So he was the only begotten. Now he's the firstborn because he got baby brothers and baby sisters. What a good news. I am in this family, and because this is where I am, there can be sickle cell traveling from my biological family, and I don't fight it with this revelation that no, he that is born of the flesh is flesh. Now he who is born of the spirit is spirit. There can be diabetes traveling in my biological family, hypertension traveling in my biological family, or whatever else, you know, negative stuff traveling in. You know, maybe you want to save something. They die early. They have problems in their homes and all whatnot. But I'm in a new family. I'm in a new family. I have spiritual inheritance. I inherit the things of God, not the things that the devil implanted in my great grandfather or whatever. No, I have the new nature. I am in Christ Jesus. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, yes, yes. Glory to God. I am in Christ. So you fight this thing. Guys, you fight it. You know, Paul was saying something in Romans 11. You know, and then he was using, agriculture to explain something. Where is that? Romans 11. Yeah. Oh, I could have just moved from 5 to 11. All right. Romans 11 from verse 16. All right, we're talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, but you could pick your own revelation from here and fight with it. So Romans 11 from 16, it says, "For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches." All right, the stump cannot be orange, and then the fruit is apple. No. If the first fruit is holy, then the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, then the branches be holy. Verse 17 says, "And if some of the branches were broken off, that you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them," watch this now, "and with them partake of the root and the fatness of the holy." Oh, glory to God. It's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. I'll show you where it concerns you, all right? We've seen it already, but need to stay there. It now says, "Boast not against." So if a branch, you remember grafting, all right, agriculture. So if a branch was broken out and you, all right, a Gentile, you were grafted in. So verse 18 says, "Do not boast against the branches. But if you boast," all right, "you are not the one holding." I'm thinking we should change the NLT. That's why I'm like pausing, just so that someone could comprehend this thing better. But the revelation is in verse 17. Oh my goodness. The revelation is in verse 17. The revelation is in verse 17. Let's do, but can we do NLT? I just want to explain this thing to somebody. Can we do NLT? Thank you. Okay. So maybe we'll go back to 16 NLT and then we'll pick it down and then we'll pick it down. All right. 16 NLT. All right. "And since Abraham and the other patriarchs," all right, "were holy, their descendants will also be" what? "Holy." So it's a family thing. Whatever they got, you know, if Abraham and other descendants were holy, other patriarchs were holy, their descendants will also be holy. Just as the entire batch of dough is holy because the portion given as an offering is holy. "For if the roots of the tree is holy, the branches will be too." Do you remember John chapter 15, guys? John 15. Jesus said that, "I am the vine. My father is a vine dresser." You remember John 15? He now says that, "I am the vine and you are the branches." All right. No, we could just stay. Let's stay on that Romans 11. I'm just connecting us, you know. So you might want to write John 15, but I know you know John 15. All right. Jesus said, "I am the vine. You are the branches." So I'm connected to him. I'm connected. I am connected. There's a flow of divine life. There's a flow of divine life from him to me. From him, yes, maybe somewhere in my biological family, some horrible things were happening. No. I've been grafted out of that tree. I've been cut away from that tree that wasn't productive. I've been cut away from that tree that had barrenness. I've been cut away from that tree that had late marriage. I've been cut away. It's not in this. So when I say no, not in this family, I'm not meaning no, not in your nuts in your family. No, when you say not in this family, it's not, oh, not in this, whatever, you know, your last name might be, wherever you came from, not that there's a new family, not in this home, not in this family. Fight the fight of faith with it. So it says, "And since Abraham and the other patriarchs were holy, their descendants will also be holy." Why was Isaac blessed? Why was Jacob blessed? They were blessed because they were connected to Abraham. Glory to God. "Just as the entire batch of dough is holy because the portion given as an offering is holy." I like the last part. "For if the root of the tree is holy," if the root, the one connected to the earth, the ground, and Jesus is the vine, and then "you are the branches." If the root is of the tree is holy, the branches will be too, guys. He's talking about Israel and the Gentiles. I'm not entering all of that. I just want to show you the one that connects with you. Verse 17, please. Verse 17. This is beautiful. But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel were broken off. And you Gentiles who were branches from a wild olive tree have been grafted in. Remember grafting. So you cut off something, you connect it to a new tree. It now begins to draw from the sap. It begins to draw from the life of that new tree. You've been disconnected from where you were. You've been taken from the kingdom of darkness. Brought into the kingdom. You've been disconnected. You're plugged into a new home. Hallelujah. You're plugged in. All right. All right, and you Gentiles who were branches from a wild olive tree have been grafted in, so now you will also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. Did anybody get that? Is someone screaming where you are? Is someone like, hallelujah, hallelujah. I was cut off from there. I've been caught in here. I wasn't there when God made a promise to Abraham. I wasn't there. I wasn't standing there. I didn't come out of Abraham's biological loins, but because of Christ, because of Christ, because of Christ, because of Christ, I have been grafted in. I was taken off from where I was. I've been taken off from that. I've been connected, and now I can draw from the nourishments of God. I can draw from the nourishments of God. I can draw. That's where the revelation is. I mean, by the time we go to 18, it says don't boast. All right, why? Because you're not the one holding. Let's see 18 in NLT. Hey, yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says, but you must not brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. He says, you are just a branch, not the root. And like I said, he's doing a comparison. All right. And then King James says, verse 19, why would you say the branches are broken off? They are grafted in. Well, because of their unbelief. And let me not enter that. The part, like I said earlier, is your verse 17, the one that concerns you right now. All right. But I love the fact that you're not holding. The branch is the branch. The tree is holding the branch. Question, guys, who is responsible for the nourishment of the branch? The tree. All the branch does to be nourished is to be connected. You are connected. You are. The root is responsible for pulling all the nutrients. You just stay, and then there's a supply. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's see 17 again and just read it. That thing was a blessing. That verse was a blessing right there. Verse 17 again, please. 17. Thank you. But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel have been broken off, and you Gentiles who were branches from a wild olive tree have been grafted in. So now, you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment. Sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. I share in that rich nourishment. This is your new family, guys. This right where you are, this is your new family. This is your new family. Did you get that? This is your new family. You've been cut off. He that is born of the flesh is flesh. Yes, biologically speaking, I'm an Anosonya. My surname is that. That's the surname my kids have. Biologically speaking, but I understand I'm in a new family. So it could be with your folk, and then they say stuff, and I say, no, not in this family. And then you just know which family. This one. This one, I'm now sucking. I'm sucking. I don't know, you know, what are we using? Is this straw or tube? Or sucking from the root that, you know, is in this blessing of Abraham. Or sucking. I'm sucking the nourishment of God from the very root I'm connected to. I'm sucking it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're never alone. We're never alone. What products of a covenant, guys. We're never alone. We're products of a covenant. We're never alone. And we're members of the greatest family ever to exist. Paul praying in Ephesians 3 said the family of, you know, of whom, the father of the family of whom, you know, the whole family of heaven and earth is named. Hallelujah. Galatians. And the fourth chapter of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. We'll pick it from the first verse. Galatians 4 verse 1. Galatians 4 1. I trust this is a blessing. Galatians 4 1. It says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, different nothing. He's not different from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Did you get that? He says, now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, he's not different. And this could be true. I mean, even if the person is the one inheriting everything, if he's still a kid, you might not be able to tell the difference all the time. All right. Verse 2 says, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Now, this portion of the Bible has been used a lot to teach spiritual growth. All right. That as long as you're a baby Christian, all right, you might not understand your rights and privileges and you might not be different from everybody else. In reality and practical sense, that's so. But this is not the verse for it. This is not, that's not what the Bible is saying. All right. So let's see it again. Now this I say, now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, different nothing from a servant, though he is Lord of all. Verse 2, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Verse 3, even so we, please notice the language, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem that under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So this has nothing to do with spiritual maturity. This has a lot to do with the timings of God. So the age appropriate was when Jesus came. It was talking about the Jews. They were under the law. They were under bondage of the law. And when the fullness of time came. So that's why I said in Abraham's relationship, all right, there was friendship. And then when the Jewish nation came up, they were servants. But I hope this part is clear. When the fullness of time came, verse 4, God sent forth his son. So the fullness of time is not we matured. No, the fullness of time was God's time matured. All right. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Verse 6, and because you are sons, hallelujah, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. 7, wherefore you are no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then a heir of God through Jesus. I said earlier, sons are the ones that inherit. So there's an inheritance for you in God. If you don't know anything at all, at least you could know Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. So one of the things you're assured of that you have in God is the blessing. I have the blessing. Blessed be God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed me. I have the blessing. I have the blessing. I have the blessing. I have the blessing. Be sure of that. And Proverbs chapter 10, 22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, adding no sorrow with it. So I have the blessing, and this blessing makes me rich. I have the blessing. So it transforms my life. I have the blessing. So it changes me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So sons are heirs. So the spirit you have now is a spirit of sonship. The spirit you have, verse 6 again, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father, not crying, friend. It's a family. There's a father over that family. So you pray in the name, you pray to the father rather, in the name of Jesus. It's a family thing. I want you from today thinking from a family perspective, not a servant's perspective. Do we serve? Yes. So because we serve our Father, so you find the apostles writing, oh, a servant of God is a, but they understand beyond service, they've been brought into sonship. These were men that walked with Jesus. So they understand the privilege of service. But they know they have rights in Christ. They know they are to sit with him and to reign with him. You and I are called to reign with him. You and I. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 from the 14th verse of Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I know you know that. I'm not stopping there. 15. For you have not received, guys, the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit in you is yearning for intimacy. The spirit in you is yearning for worship. The spirit in you is yearning. I mean, yearning for that environment to just connect and relate with its Father. There's a spirit in you. And it's not just for academic excellence, you know, professional, career blastings. And no, come on, guys. That spirit is yearning for fellowship. That spirit was created for fellowship. Abba, intimacy. So if you say, oh, I'm Abba's boy, I'm Abba's girl, please don't just say it. Let intimacy be evident in your life. Intimacy. Because Abba is that intimate word. You know, daddy, 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 daddy. So you're not just, you know, calling your dad CEO, chairman, you know, and all of that. You know what he does. You know his capabilities. But he said, that's my daddy. That's my daddy. That's my daddy. Do you understand? When everybody goes, hey, morning, sir, you know, and all of that. He said, that's my dad. It shows intimacy. Do you understand that? Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Is this thing clear? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. God doesn't want you afraid. God doesn't want you afraid. All right? We've dealt with that like two episodes ago. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption. And the word adoption here, you know, that there are two things that have happened to us. We have an actual birth, and then there's a principle of adoption. The principle of adoption was what could have happened from Genesis. God could have said the same way there were, you know, let there were birds and trees and, you know, fish and all of that. He could have just said, let there be men. But what God did was to give Adam the privilege, all right, to reproduce for him sons and daughters. All right. So it would now be the principle of adoption. They are mine, but you give birth to them for me. Then I pick them from there. All right. Principle of adoption. But then Adam sinned, and everybody Adam gave birth to were technically children of the devil. All right. So in the new birth, there is that. So adoption is not a thing of now. It's not an afterthought in God's mind. It's a principle of they are mine. And another way to explain adoption is you've come into maturity and into something your own. All right. But adoption is not, no. I'm trying to go to Ephesians to explain all of that, but maybe not today. All right. But you find an Ephesians one before you get to verse 6, 7, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 1, 7, 7. It's not 7, 5. 7 is redemption. 6 is 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus, unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So what would have happened in Adam? Adam gives birth, and then we are his. So right now, we're adopted in Christ by God, if you get that. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. So we are now in Christ, and everybody coming into Christ becomes automatically a child of God, because that's what we are. So that's the language adoption, and it had been in his heart from before. Verse 5, haven't predestinated us. So it's not a new thing. It was a plan from the very beginning, okay? So back to that Romans, where we were. Romans 8. So Romans 8:15 again. So Romans 8:15 again says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father." Verse 16. The spirit itself, which should be himself, actually, the spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So he's still confirming sonship. All right. As many as are led, they are the sons of God. You've received the spirit of sonship in you. That's 14, 15, 16. The spirit bears witness with you that you're a son of God. And then 17. And if you are children, then you are heirs. Glory to God. If you are children, then you are heirs. Heirs of God, guys, and joint heirs with Jesus, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. So some say, oh, let me go and suffer so I can be glorified. No, in Christ, when he suffered, you suffered with him, so you don't have to look for suffering. There also be things you go through as a believer. Persecution will come, all right? Not because you did something wrong, but because you're living that right life. They will persecute you for Jesus' sake. All of that will come, so you don't have to say, I'm looking for suffering. No, 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 no. But already we died with him, we're buried with him, we suffered with him, we resurrected with him. Do you understand that? So if so be, I mean, this is your portion. So I am a heir. I am a child. Whose heir am I? I'm God's heir. He is my father. Therefore, I have inheritance. Glory to God. I have inheritance. I do. I'm part of my inheritance. Again, the nature of God. Life, light, love. Colossians chapter 1. So I'm entering kingdom now. Colossians 1. There's a new kingdom. There's a new kingdom. And we should be more aware of our spiritual lineage and of our spiritual kingdom more than anything else. You know, I'm usually very careful, all right, when people like to talk. Now, there is racism. You know, there's right now maybe a lot more systematic racism than the usual obvious racism and all of that. All right. Some complain about it. I've really never experienced that, but I'm trying to say, but there is, I know there is. All right. And people experience in different forms and fashions and all of that. But I've seen people who are too sensitive about it. And I'm careful with that. I just want to chip this in and move off. You know, so there's that white supremacist thing. And then you find a lot of black people now going to dig into a whole lot of black history. And it's rather enlightening, really. Rather enlightening. There are documentaries, there are some movies, and then... But then there's now the rising black supremacist thing. And some of the findings are quite interesting, sincerely. You know, and this person was a black man, that first person was a black man, and it's amazing. But then it's beginning to tip into that black supremacist. We are better than the white man. The black man has a better brain. And when I see people not born again do that, I'm almost okay with it. When I see people born again getting deep in that, I say there's trouble here. You're trying to solve a problem by creating another problem. That's what this thing will become. You're solving a problem. That's what you want to do, by creating another one. Because in the writings of Paul, and that's what happened in the Bible, the Jews were special. They felt supreme. All right? They felt supreme over everybody else. Why? Because they had the covenants of God. But don't forget, the Gentiles, also the Greeks, Babylon was Greek. I mean, Gentile nation, by the time you add all of them together, Alexandria, everybody. So, and that's why, you know, Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, all right, and he said that the Jews are seeking something. The Gentiles are seeking something. One is seeking power, and then the other is seeking wisdom. And he says, but Jesus is the combination. Christ is both the wisdom of God and the power of God. So he's the answer to the power that the Jews are seeking and to the wisdom that the Gentiles are seeking. because they grasp for a lot of knowledge. They seek for a lot of that. But Christ is the answer to both. And Paul is preaching that neutral line where there's no Jew, there's no Gentile. Guys, back then there was no black, there was no white. It was Jew, Gentile, because the Jews felt special. And Paul didn't go to the Gentile nation, Athens. I mean, Corinth has knowledge. Don't forget that. These people were knowledgeable. These people were brilliant. All right? They had it all. Thank you. All right? So maybe we'll do 23 into 24. So I'll be sure I said all that well. Okay, yeah, thank you. All right. So the Jews require a sign, 22. All right. They want a display of power. They want a sign, but the Greeks are looking for wisdom. And that's who they are. They want, you know, them Aristotle, Plato. They want something. The Jews, of course, studious, but they ask, give me a sign. Give me a sign. And then 23, 24, all right. But we preach Christ. So when I see, thank you so much, Gabriel, for bringing this up. But when I see church folk, you know, moving into that thin line in now also being this unconscious black supremacist, I feel there is a problem. There is a problem. Your message as a believer, preach Christ. I don't like what they do to us Africans. I don't like when you tell them that, you know, you tell them that all men are created by God equal. Preach the gospel. There's no Jew, there's no Gentile anymore in Christ. There's no male or female. You know, same for women liberation, women this and women that. If only we preach the gospel. And preach the gospel. The gospel already shows that God could use both male or female. And why didn't Jesus have any woman amongst the 12 disciples? He wouldn't have been healthy for any woman to even run that schedule. Wouldn't have been now. These men were on the road like how many times in a day? That was heat, man. A whole lot of stuff. But there were women amongst the disciples, and he never castigated them. So it's the gospel you preach. All right, it's the gospel. Are there points where you might need to be in a community meeting where you have to stand up and say things that, you know, I feel there's a bit of segregation? Yeah, do all of that. Do all of that. But don't now unconsciously cross the line and enter supremacist. Don't enter that gender supremacy thing and women are better. And no, don't just preach the gospel. Maybe just see that 23 to 24. I think I just like it. You know, thanks for bringing it up. You know, so I'm careful with all that. It says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks wisdom. Why? One is looking for display, show me something. The other is saying, hey, it doesn't sound like solid knowledge. It's a stumbling block. All right, 24. Thank you, Lord. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God. And it's the wisdom of God. So you looking for power, you looking for wisdom, your answer is Jesus Christ. You say no emancipation, and your answer is Jesus Christ. Your answer is Jesus Christ. So the church needs to be careful, and I hope that's, you know, helpful to someone. You know, so Colossians 1 and 12, because you need to know, what kingdom am I in? What kingdom am I really fighting for? So be you, and I know a few of us here from different countries. You know, so wherever you are, resident, the kingdom of God should still be your priority. We're only in the nations where we are in to further the kingdom of God. I know some might feel, well, me, I'm here because I just want to live a better life. He's not against anybody living a better life, but while you're at it, you further the kingdom agenda. That's it. Because all the nations will crumble one day, and it's a kingdom that will stand. In the last days, the Bible said, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established over every other mountain. The mountain of the house of the Lord will be established over every other mountain, guys. So the agenda is kingdom. We have to preach this deliberately, intentionally, kingdom. All right? Kingdom. It must be clear, you know, thank you. It must be, you know, clear. And we must understand that whatever it is. So, should we get involved in politics? By all means, do what you can to better the lots of other people. Should we get involved? Do what you can. Whatever it is you can to better the lot of other people, do. Go for the elections. Vote, and we should. All right? Because a whole lot of people are messing things up. Do that. But at the end of it all, all right, if Africa becomes as beautiful as Dubai, if Africa becomes as, you know, whatever, or if this happens in this nation and all the racism here, at the end of the day, every nation is still going to bow the knee. And we should not be too carried away pushing agendas of nations and forget that there is a kingdom agenda. There have been riotings and, you know, Black Lives Matters and, you know, the ANSARs and everything all over the world, and everybody's doing something, and half of all those people will not share a post from their church. They say, my social media page is not for religious activity. My social media page is not, I don't do that. You know, and then, but this is an agenda, and then they push the agenda. You know, we need to put an end to injustice. Whether it's ended or not, guys, once Jesus comes, that will be the end of everything. There is an agenda. There is a mandate. There's what the church should be focusing on, because we're in this world, you know, my brothers and sisters, but we're not of it. There is a kingdom. The new creation has a new kingdom. It's that agenda we have to push. So Jesus, you know, is our Lord and our King in our kingdom, guys. Is a king over our kingdom. So Colossians chapter 1 verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet, which means he qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So the saints are in light and they inherit the light. Hallelujah. But I'm not going into that. It's just beautiful. Giving thanks to the Father, he made us meet. He qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of a saint in the light. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and he translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. This 13th verse here would help you deal with sickness, disease, demonic manipulations and oppressions, confusion, anything. This verse 13 here, right here. Who has, not will, guys. He has. He's not about to. He has. Not after you fast and pray. No. I would rather you fast and pray with that verse. And you're going 3 days. Thank you, Father. I'm delivered. I would rather you fast and pray. Not thank you for, not deliver me. Deliver me. What I am passing. I want God to deliver. No. He has delivered you. You were born delivered. Oh, yeah, yeah. Do you understand? The new creation is not in bondage. He or she born, delivered. Because this verse was written before you were born and before, you know, before I was born, before my parents gave birth to me, before my parents gave birth, my parents gave birth, my parents gave birth, my parents. You get the drift. This verse was written. Jesus had defined this. I have been delivered. You have been delivered from the power of darkness. So you go to bed at night and there's something. No, Satan, I have been delivered from you. No, Satan, no. Some funny habits are trying to pull you. No, you tell that habit and it's time you told that habit. I'm delivered from you. It's time you told that habit. I'm delivered from you. It's time to tell that sickness. You can't ravage my body. You can't be running me back and forth. You can't be sending me to hospital after hospital. Read the memo. I've been delivered from you. Guys, this is a fighting ground here. This is a weapon of warfare. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness? Watch this, guys. He didn't deliver you and leave you. All right. He didn't deliver you and he left you there. And then they came back and jumped all over you. And they said, oh my goodness, Lord, I know you delivered me, but come and deliver me again. Lord, deliver me. No. He delivered us from the power of darkness and then he translated us higher. He moved us. He transported us. He changed our location, moved us into the kingdom of his dear son. Question, which of these guys from the kingdom of darkness can come into this new kingdom? You know the answer is no. If they can't enter the kingdom, how come they have power over us? Because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So now you know. Make a list where you are if you can. Make a list. Kingdom of light. Kingdom of darkness. You could draw a table. If you have a pen around you somewhere, draw a table. Kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. So make a list of those things that you think belong to the kingdom of darkness. Make a list. Sickness, early death. You know, just make a list. Make a list. I could make a list. Go ahead, please. Go ahead. Accident, lack, and insufficiency, and what? Make a list. Whatever horrible, deadly thing you could think about, just make a list of it. Make a list. And look at that list, all right? Still need a minute? All right? Make a list. Make a list. He's delivered you from the power of darkness. He's delivered you from the power of darkness. He's delivered you from the power of darkness. So look at it. He's delivered from this power. And then he didn't just deliver me. He moved me into, so make a list, kingdom of light, peace, prosperity, good health, abundance, calmness, sensitivity to the spirit, whatever you want to write, blessings, blissful home, make a list. He delivered me from this and he moved me into this. He delivered me from this and he moved me into this. He delivered me from this. Are you doing that? He delivered me from this. He moved me into this. He delivered me from this. He moved me into this. He delivered me from this. Glory to God. Glory to God. He's delivered me from the power of darkness. Hallelujah, and translated me into the kingdom of his dear son. He delivered me from the power of darkness, translated me into the kingdom of his dear son. I have been delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of God's dear son. I've been delivered from the power of darkness. I've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear son. So you might want to be specific. I've been delivered from anemia. I've been delivered from a sickle cell. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. I've been delivered from hypertension. I've been delivered. I've been delivered from this sickness and disease. I've been delivered. I've been delivered from confusion. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. But you're not just delivered. Keep at it. I've been delivered and translated. I've been taken away from sickness. I've been moved into health. I've been delivered from the power of sickness and disease. I've been translated into the kingdom of his dear son, and it's a kingdom of light and life. I've been delivered, translated, delivered, translated, delivered, translated, delivered, translated. I've been taken away from their hands, taken away from their grip, delivered, rescued, and then translated. I've been translated. I've been moved, transported, shipped, moved, relocated. Hallelujah. I've been delivered and translated, delivered and translated. I've been delivered and translated. I've been delivered and translated. I have been delivered. I have been translated. I have been delivered. I have been translated. I have been delivered. I have been translated. Yes. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I have been delivered. And I have been translated. I have been delivered. I have been translated. I have been delivered. I have been translated. I have. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Anybody learning something there? Oof. Delivered. You fight of faith with this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're going to end right now. Oh, dear. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I'm in a new kingdom. Yes, I am. I'm in a new kingdom. I'm in a new kingdom, delivered and translated. Praise Jesus. delivered and translated. I'm in a new kingdom. Glory to God. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That this is you, all right? I know you sing it. You sing it. I know who I am. I know. But sometimes you sing it and that's the end of it, all right? But you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are peculiar. That you will show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, saying here is that most of our thanksgivings in most churches, you know, just about material things and earthly things. And it's not wrong in itself. But the issue is, it's usually devoid of spiritual reality. So while it's okay to be thankful, I mean, you need to be grateful for the benefits. All right. But don't forget what he's done. So it says, you are called to show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So the reason why all the other natural things happen to you, oh, thank God for this, thank God for that, is because he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So guys, I'm in a new kingdom. I'm in a kingdom of love, according to Colossians chapter 1. I'm in a kingdom of light, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I'm in a new kingdom. So the agenda I pursue is the agenda of this kingdom. And Jesus is the king over this kingdom. Jesus is my king. He's my king. Hallelujah. He's my king forever. Glory to God. Thank you there, Lord Jesus. Oh, let's read it again. But you are a chosen generation. Sometimes you feel neglected. Nobody loves you. Nobody appreciates you. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priest. You are a holy nation. So you are a member of that holy nation. You. And then you're a peculiar person. It says that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I've been called out of darkness. All right? I have been called. You have been called. So if there are deeds of darkness lurking around us, let's kick them out. Say, I'm being called into darkness. Sickness is darkness, guys. Right? Lack and poverty, these things are darkness. We've been called out of darkness. We've been called out of the dominion of the devil. We've been brought into light. He didn't just call it light. He called it marvelous. Woo! Marvelous. Imagine yourself living in that place of brightness. It means the days of confusion will be over totally. This is you now partaking of your divine nature through knowledge. Did you get that? Because you're now knowing, oh, this is what's mine. This is what's mine. This is what's mine. Because you know what's yours and what's available to you. You are able to partake of his divine nature. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. Could you go ahead and thank him? Oh, go ahead and thank him. Thank you because you called me out of darkness into your marvelous light. You called me out of darkness into your marvelous light. I have left the realm of darkness. I am now in your marvelous light. Thank you because you delivered me from the power of darkness. You transported me into the kingdom of your dear son. I have left that realm, but I wasn't left alone. I was taken and planted in. I was taken from here, planted here. I'm a victor. I'm a new creature. I know what's mine. I'm a family member now, with God being my father and Jesus my brother. And I have rights and privileges. I have an inheritance. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And Satan is not a part of this family. This is good news. I've been delivered from his family. I'm now in a new family. So he can't make you do stuff. He can't push stuff on you. He can't do anything like that. No, we can't. No, we can't. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whew. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. I believe you've been blessed, all right? I believe you've been blessed. So yeah, I need to apologize. The last time was supposed to get the emails are available so you could get the video and audio. We had this technical hitch. It didn't get out till about Thursday. So all that has been rectified. You will get your emails tomorrow. There was something we realized we could have done that we didn't do. So once we're done today, I'll begin to work on all of that. And then the emails will be out. So you get your emails tomorrow. So in that email, you would find YouTube channel, the link to my YouTube channel. That's where the videos are. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. And please, could you just share with people? Let them know about this YouTube channel, Larex and Osea. You see the link. Please share. Please share. Just share, share. Subscribe. Guys, you know, just tell them to subscribe to the YouTube channel. It would help us to have more people get blessed, right? Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow on Instagram if you haven't or if you aren't. Please do. If you're led to give, Word Up is consistently free. The giving link also will be in that email you're going to get. So, and it's also been in past emails that you might have received and all of that. So yeah, you want to be a blessing to Word Up. According to Galatians 6, it says you should bless those who teach you God's word. So, hey, it will be wonderful to do that. So subscribe to the YouTube channel. Give and please tell somebody else about the next Word Up. We will be talking about the gift of life. Word Up, the gift of life. So praise God. That will be coming up. When is that? 27th and 28th of this month. All right. So we just always have 1 week as a break and then we skip all right to the next one. So 27th, Saturday 27th, Sunday 28th of this month. And our last edition will be 11th and 12th of December. It will be amazing. Thank you for always joining in. Thank you for always tuning in. I love and appreciate that commitment from you. So have a great week. Bye. Thank you.